This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, joined by Lim Soo Ann and Dashan Johan. So a quick update from earlier today. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced that the movement control order is being extended till the 14th of April. He also assured everyone that there will be adequate supplies of daily necessities and food. So there's no need to panic buy. There's no need to worry. He urged everyone to stay calm, take this time to spend time at home because, you know, staying at home really is the most important thing you can be doing for all of us right now. Mm. And now we move on to our second story. We have been asking you on Twitter a question related to that.
So Albert Uderzo, the co-creator of the Asterix comic series, he passed away yesterday, so we'll be paying tribute to him today. So we're asking you, what are your favourite memories or stories or characters from Asterix? And you can share that with us by tweeting us at BFM Radio, or you can also WhatsApp in at 018-789-8899.
So it's definitely been a tumultuous week for a couple of weeks, really, for all of us. But a few other things have also been happening in the world. We did do a tribute to country singer Kenny Rogers earlier this week. He passed away over the weekend. And more sad news emerged yesterday, this time from the world of comics. Mm. So Albert Uderzo, who's the co-creator of the wildly popular Asterix comic series, passed away yesterday at the ripe old age of 92.
Mm. So according to his son-in-law, Uderzo died in his sleep at his home in Nuit, France, after a heart attack that was not linked to the coronavirus. Mm-hmm.
Something that I think needs to be said these days, sadly enough.
And just to give you guys some backstory, right? So Albert Uderzo is best known for as one half of the duo behind the Asterix comics. The other was René Goscinny. Together, they created the French language comics back in 1959. Goscinny was the writer and Uderzo was the illustrator. Mm-hmm. And after Goscinny's death in 1977, Uderzo took over the writing as well until 2009. And in 2013, the series was taken over by John Yves Ferry and Didier Conrad. So as of last year, the series is glorious 50 years old.
Mm, that's really impressive. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who might not be familiar with the Asterix series, well, here's a little introduction from the book itself. The year is 50 BC. Gaul is entirely occupied by the Romans. Well, not entirely. One small village of indomitable Gauls still hold out against the invaders. And life is not easy for the Roman legionaries who garrison the fortified camps of Totorum, Aquarium, Laudanum, and Compendium. So the series follows the adventures of the these indomitable Gauls as they repeatedly thwart the Romans, and they do this with a magic potion that gives them superhuman strength. It's brewed by their druid, whose name is Getafix.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. So I think you guys need to confess right off that the both of you are not entirely familiar with the series.
Yes, I confessed the last time we did a story on Asterix, and I will confess again now.
And because we've done basically two stories now on the Asterix, I clearly am a huge fan. So those Gauls that we were talking about include, firstly, the hero of the series, Asterix, his best friend, the well-meaning but not really so bright Obelix, their chieftain, the rather rotund Vital Statistics, and a special mention of Obelix's dog Dogmatics. And their adventures take them all around the world. They meet a bunch of equally interesting characters. But along the way, there's plenty of humour, merrymaking, and always a roast boar, or in Obelix's case, 10.
Well, sort of series first appeared in the Franco-Belgian magazine Pilote in 1959. And in an interview with the Connection newspaper in 2008, Uderzo shared that he and Goscinny were sitting on the balcony of his apartment and trying to think of a character for the magazine. And their brief was that the character should be from the French culture to set them apart from American superheroes or that other European sensation, Hergé's Tintin. So Uderzo said that he and Goscinny looked through the different periods of French history, and when they got to the Gauls, that was when they had their Eureka moment.
And it certainly was one heck of an idea, right? The Asterix series is one of the most popular Franco-Belgian comics in the world, and it's been translated into more than 110 languages, including English, of course. Mm. In fact, Goscinny and Uderzo are France's best-selling authors abroad, with nearly 400 million copies of their books sold worldwide.
And so the success of the series has led to 13 film adaptations. 9 of these were animated and 4 were live action. And then you had a number of games based on the characters, as well as a theme park near Paris, Parc Asterix.
Yes.
Sharmila, you've been there, I've been told.
Oh my gosh. You know, the first time I went to Paris, my biggest disappointment was that I couldn't go to Parc Asterix. Mm. And so the second time I went, I made sure I did.
We saw the picture.
Yes. The picture that shall not be made public. But yes, no, it was amazing. It's like, it's Disneyland, but more niche.
Mm. I mean, I can imagine, right, if you're such a huge fan of a character like this and to have a whole theme park based on that one.
Especially characters that are not extremely prevalent everywhere else. Like, you can get your Disney fix in many places.
That's right.
But, you know, for Asterix, I kind of was like, have to go.
And that made it extra special, yeah. I'm sure. And so here's another bit of Asterix trivia. The very first French satellite that was launched in 1965 was actually named Asterix after the comics.
I know. Sorry, Dashan, were you going to say something?
Uderzo met Goscinny in 1951. They became good friends and decided to work together. Mm. The first thing they did together was a comic series called Oompa-Pa. And then, of course, in 1959, and history was made, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So in many ways, Uderzo is actually that last link that's left to that original series. You know, he was born in Fismes, France in 1927 to Italian immigrant parents. He wasn't particularly good at school, and really it's one of those classic artist stories. I think he wasn't a great student. He really excelled only in sketching and arts, and interestingly, at around the age of 11 or 12, he started painting with colors, and they discovered that he was colorblind. So from then on, Uderzo labeled his colors so that he knew what he was painting with, and this is one of the reasons why the Asterix comics are usually rendered in these vivid primary colors. They don't use a lot of shading. And in his early years, Uderzo was really very much inspired by American comics and cartoons, especially early Walt Disney works like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. And so to get a deeper idea of Asterix's legacy, I reached out to the founder of the local comics brand, Marplay Comics, Amir Hafizi. And I started off by asking him what his earliest exposure to the Asterix series was.
Well, the first time I actually held in an Asterix comic was when I went to some friends' places, their homes, and I bumped into those weird French comics because they're quite it's not something that you usually see in Malaysian bookstores. It's something that your more affluent friends are into. I only got into European comics later with 2008 and stuff, but the French comics. It's only usually from introduction from friends who actually travel to those countries and got them back here.
Mm. And what drew you to them?
Well, it's weird. I was hoping for like a superhero story like Thor or something because it looked somewhat like that. But it's not. It's actually the one thing that I like. And also it's like, you know, these gummy bears? Yes, gummy bears. Mm-hmm. I used to like gummy bears, and in gummy bears,
cartoon
they drink
series.
This potion.
Gummy bears drink the potion. That's right. Okay, I remember now.
I think it's gummy bears. It's a gummy berry juice, right? So, mm-hmm. So I think Asterix also had that concept where you drink a strength potion. So that drew me as well. As a kid, you know, when I was younger. When I got older, the thing that drew me to the comic is slightly different. Asterix actually managed to do nationalism in a non-racist manner. I think that's the most striking thing I found reading those things. It's actually about the Gauls, fending off the Roman punya invasion and stuff like that. And they're the only village that could do it. But the way they depict the characters is not like us versus them. It's like all the Gauls are fantastic, muscular people. Even in the art, you can see it, that all the Romans are stupid doofuses and whatever else. It's more of everyone looks goofy. You know, Asterix is a short guy with a silly mustache, mm-hmm. and Obelix is a fat guy carrying a stone, carrying a rock mm-hmm. around. So they actually, it's very French in that sense, because they make fun of everyone and everything.
Equal opportunity insulting.
Yeah, it's they're equally insulting to everyone. And the fact that I found out later in life that the creators were so concerned about people being offended with the stereotypes that they are lampooning. So it's one of those things where you look at satire and people get offended nowadays, especially with the PC culture. Mm-hmm. But the people who did these things, the OGs, the original gangsters who did this beforehand, they just wanted to lampoon the stereotypes. And I think Asterix were one of those pure things where they were just lampooning the racist stereotypes that the French are like this, the Italians are like that, the British are like this and that and whatever else.
Mm. I'm glad you brought that up, because my question was actually going to be, do those comics still hold up today?
Oh, I think very much so. I believe that they teach whole groups of people to laugh at themselves and to laugh at the stereotypes. The problem right now is with the world being as it was before COVID-19 and even after COVID-19, is so polarized. Mm-hmm. And it's so like it's so us versus them. It's so intense that people don't actually take a step back and laugh at themselves. But for its period, Asterix could make people laugh at themselves and the stereotypes. But right now, I think if anyone wants to achieve that, it would be a bit more difficult. But Asterix would be something like a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who, yourself has become, you founded Maplay Comics, you've put out a few local series. How would you say, how would you say that the Asterix series has impacted the world of comic books in general?
The comic book world in general.
Yes.
Well, it's one of those things that one of those series that lasts for a long time. So, if you're talking about something that started in the 60s and continued even until today through different creators, different set of creators, it shows longevity. It's also one of those series that has been a mainstay, and you need those things. You need those series that go on for a long time, like the Marvel comics or DC, whatever else. And this is in Europe, which is a bit more difficult, I think, than the US, which is maybe a bigger market. But then also, at the same time, it's a different take in Europe as well. But whenever you have a series that goes on for a long time, it shows that it becomes a stalwart in the industry. You need those series that stay for a long time. You need those hits that sell like a million copies a month or something somewhere, so that people like us, we are a smaller industry, and also Maplay Comics is a very small company. So if we can reach like tens of thousands of copies of sales per year, or even 100,000, if we could dream for that, that would be great. So if the top dogs are doing really well, doing this for like 40 years, 50 years, and they're selling like millions of copies, there's hope for us at the back here, at the bottom of the pyramid.
And speaking of that long lifespan, one of the most interesting things about Asterix in particular is that, it's been the creators all along until very, very recently, because, Albert Uderzo just passed away, and he was actually working on the comics until very, very recently. What is the impact of that, having those original creators still having a say in the series?
Well, it's also, I guess, a triumph on creator rights, which is something that Maplay Comics has always pushed. We believe that creators should retain control over their creations for as long as possible. And for Asterix, I think it remained with the creators for a long, long time, especially with Mr. Uderzo. So basically, we believe that whatever that you create, you should actually retain and have control over it. And this is what the creators of Asterix has had for the past few decades. And it is possible the world didn't end because creators actually have total control over their creations, until at one point they decided to either sell it, or if one day it will enter the public domain. I mean, that's natural. That's something that happens.
And any final thoughts on the passing of Albert Uderzo?
I just think that whenever somebody that has achieved so much in the comics industry passes away, it's like a gut punch. And I'm hoping that the new crops, whoever they may be, will be able to fill in this huge void left by the man. I'm sure that Asterix actually means a lot to a lot of people. And I can see that the only reason it has survived is because of the readers. So I know that it has changed over the years, that their new team has taken over, but still, as long as Mr. Uderzo was there, at least the original spirit was still alive with Asterix. But that's one thing as well. I think even though mortals pass away, these characters are immortal and they would always remain there forever.
That was Amir Hafizi, the founder of Maplay Comics, talking about Albert Uderzo and the Asterix comic series. And I love that sentiment that he ended on, that, you know, this is his work and it will live on forever, even though he's gone. And, you know, there are lots of people who I think agree with me on how much they love Asterix. When we've got a few of you texting in or
tweeting.
That's
right, because we were calling out for people to send in their favorite memories or stories or characters from Asterix. And you can still do so. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Right now on Twitter, Faizat says that favorite memory, every time Obelix gets in line for the potion and gets scolded for it.
Yes. For people who've read the series, this is because Obelix fell into the potion as a baby and so doesn't actually need to take the potion. Okay. But because he's so jealous about everyone else getting to drink it, he keeps trying to figure out ways in which he can fool the others and get in line. It's really quite a running joke.
Ru Leong says that my favorite characters are Asterix and Cleopatra.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that one too.
Another tweet from Chandan Chatterjee saying that my favorite thing is the naming of the characters, and he gave an example, square and the hypotenuse. It's imaginative and funny.
So this is another thing that, like, people who know Asterix will know, that they're really known for using these puns to name people. So square and the hypotenuse is an architect. There's a fishmonger whose name is Unhygienics. The village smith is called Fully Automatics. So it's one of those things. They play around with words, and there's always a little pun.
It's really smart, actually.
And it's such a fun way to get people interested in it, right? It's you're not only getting entertainment, you are learning something as well. And that's also been shared by Gaia on WhatsApp, who says that reading Asterix as a kid helped me to learn words like geriatrics, vital statistics, cacophony, and in reference to Cacophonix the Bard's name, and so much more. Not to mention, it improved my knowledge of Latin, Veni, Vedi, Vici, and all that. And of course, the Gauls' motto, we have nothing to fear but the sky falling on our heads. And those are wise words to live by. Definitely.
I agree, Gaia. You are a wise one indeed.
So, Sharmila, you're like the biggest Asterix fan here, right? Like as we mentioned earlier.
I mean, it's
like
a low bar in this room, but yes, I'm a pretty big fan.
So, like, what actually got you into it?
Well, you know, my dad was a big fan.
Okay.
So he had, at that point, all the, you know, the collection of series that we had. And I just happened to pick them up because, you know, they look fun. The colors, and they're not difficult to read. Comics are always, I think, more accessible than maybe books. Yeah. And so it was one of those things that really bridges the gap between, so I must have been like 7 or 8 when I started reading them. And again, like Gaia, who just texted in, I learned a lot of words from that series, but it was also funny. It was funny enough that a child could get it. But then as I grew up, I understood these different layers to the meanings as well.
Yeah.
I think that's what someone else texted in to say.
That's right. So Vernie says it's funny for both adults and children, and it's awesome to grow up with it and feel everything that's, and sort of, I guess, immerse yourself in the experience of being in the world of Asterix.
I think also I love the fact that they traveled. You know, they used to travel around the world. And Amir made a really good point earlier about how some of those jokes, especially making fun of different cultures or stereotypes, might feel a little dicey in our age. But the creators of Asterix actually were very, very aware of this. And in many ways, what they were doing was lampooning the stereotype and not the people, if that makes sense. And for some, and that always came through. I don't necessarily, while there were a few, very few instances which I feel maybe in today's world wouldn't really stand up, most of the time you felt like you were laughing with them and not at them, which I think is important.
Yeah, and like something you said earlier, right, like how they lampoon on it and all, like, I think one of the things, so like, I'm not a big fan, but of course, like, you know, I am a comic book fan in general, so I do know of the, you know, Uderzo and all that. But one thing I've always found fascinating, right, is this idea that, so like, if you look at real life, right, like in terms of like Roman occupation, so it's something very violent, it's something very bloody and all that. But the comics has a very buoyant feel about it. It's very like, you know, it's like lighthearted and it's funny and all that, but it doesn't come like, sometimes, you know, when you play on these sort of events, it may come off as like, you know, like it's an insult or like insensitive. But I think, you know, the creators of this comic, they just have this, I don't know, how do you put it? Like, I guess it's more like they just have this innocence and joy or like wit about them also.
So, you know, that's actually a really great point because Goscinny and Uderzo lived through World War II. You know, they were very aware of what it's like for occupation to happen because they were in France. And so I think a lot of that actually went into the creation of the comics, this idea of the indomitable, like people holding out against the occupation. And I've read interviews where they talk about how they thought humor was a really good way to work through some of those issues without necessarily being sort of talking about the joy and the spirit that you can still have, you know, instead of focusing on the negatives. And I think that's something that really, I think most of us could use a little bit more joy right
now. Definitely, especially today.
Yeah.
We have another comment on Twitter saying, my favorite character is Cleopatra and her assorted small meal.
Plus, Mr. Harry Nose on the slave ship. Well, on that note, thank you for so many memories, you guys. So that this is just our little tribute to Albert Uderzo, who is the who just passed away yesterday at the age of 92, co-creator of the Asterix comic series. You know, with the MCO now being extended till the 14th of April. If you're looking for reading material, if you're looking for material that is, you know, going to make you laugh, put a smile on your face, I could not recommend Asterix highly enough. You can check that out. And that is all the time we have for today's show. But you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We're also on Facebook. If you want to look us up, we are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, we will be revisiting an interview that Juliet Jacobs did with Professor Charles Hopkins, Chair in Reorienting Teacher Education Towards Sustainability at UNESCO. And they will be talking about his work on transforming education, public awareness and training to address sustainable development. I believe we have one last comment that just slipped in.
Yes, one last comment. So someone WhatsApped in to say, not sure if it's just me or do others feel the same after reading every Asterix comics. I feel extremely hungry, especially after the last picture where they are having a feast to celebrate their victory. The way they paint the barbecue and the way Obelix eats them always makes me hungry.
I completely agree. Books that make you hungry are the best books of them all. So we will leave you now with Fun by Cash and David. Enjoy your day, do some reading and stay at home. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.